Hi, welcome to Our Life in the Trinity. This is Linda Rex, and I'm glad to be with you one more time. We are going to talk about liminal spaces today, and this is the sermon for July 23rd of 2023, and we're still in the season of ordinary days. I'm going to say a prayer. We'll look at the Word of God and together and read it. And toward the end, we'll have communion together if you'd like to prepare for that now. And then we'll close with a benediction. So please pray with me. Father, Son, Spirit, thank you that we can be with you today, that you've included us in your life and love. We're held in your grace embrace. We're participants even now in your kingdom. Because of what Christ has done and is doing and will do, and the gift of your precious Spirit. So we pray today, Heavenly Spirit, that you would write the Word of God in our minds and hearts, that you would awaken us to the reality of the life which is ours through Jesus our Lord. Amen. Yep, liminal spaces. I was reading about this, and apparently, liminal spaces is kind of a more modern term, I guess, but it has to do with places of transition or change, and it can be real or it can be imaginary or metaphorical. It can be, you know, thoughts that we have of changing from one thing to another, and whether we like it or not, our human life is full of liminal spaces. And even seasons of liminality, especially if we're dealing with difficult problems, stresses. I was thinking about this because this week we did the final service for a friend of mine, a ministry partner. And we had done so many things together. She was like a sister and a mother. And it was hard to say goodbye. It's always hard, and you get really close when you're doing ministry with people because they see you at your worst, they see you at your best, and you grow in the love that God meant us to have as brothers and sisters, as his children. But, and so when someone passes away, there is this space where you're going from the way it used to be to the way it will be from now on. A new normal is what some people call it. And that can be really challenging, especially for those who are family members. I've gone through this in the loss of both my parents. It's a change. It's things are never the same again. And but liminal spaces can be good because in seasons of liminality of transition or of not being able to really be how you always were before, but not quite where you want to be or need to be, they can be good because they can help us grow and they can help us develop as human beings. We need to realize, you know, change is going to happen, transitions happen, and in whether we like it or not, our life in Christ is lived in a space, a liminal space of the already not yet of God's kingdom. In Christ, as God came in human flesh to live our life, die, death, and rise again, we find that Jesus inaugurated the kingdom of God in his life, death, resurrection, ascension, and when he was preaching here on earth, he would say, the kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God is near. The kingdom. He was trying to show that he's the king of the kingdom. And so here, it's starting here with me. And so the kingdom of God in Christ, we find then he lives, he dies, he rises, and sends his Spirit. And in a sense, we're living in the kingdom of God even now by the Spirit, participating in what God is doing, bringing as Jesus prayed, his kingdom come, his will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. So we're in this space where it's not quite there yet, but it is there. And this can be a real challenge for us because we don't like to live in the in-between space. We like it just to be how it's going to be, right? It's uncomfortable to live in these liminal spaces. Now, Paul talks about, you know, how we're to live in this space, what our life in Christ should look like, our life in the kingdom that is already but not yet. In Romans 8, 12 to 25, Paul says this, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Now keep in mind that we died with Christ. So our flesh died with Christ and was resurrected in his flesh. So since that is dead, leave it there," is what Paul's saying. Paul's saying you don't have any obligation to that old way of living and being. It's died with Christ. So we're to live in the new life that is ours in Christ, right? When he was resurrected and went to live with the Father, bringing our resurrected human flesh with him into the presence of the Father. This is where we live now, right? So Paul goes on to say, "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. You can tell the children of God because they're following the Holy Spirit. They're going where the Spirit of God is leading, where Christ is leading. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship." So what's interesting is the ways of our flesh are the way it used to be before Christ, is that we're enslaved to sin and death. But Jesus, because he rose from the grave, right, with our flesh, we are now God's children, adopted. So you see, there's a difference in the way we live like children instead of like slaves to sin and death, right? So Paul says, by Jesus, by the Spirit, we cry, Abba, Father. Abba is like dad. It's a very warm, affectionate term that Jesus used for his heavenly Father. Abba, Father. That's why a lot of times I'll say Abba, because that's what Jesus called his Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. And that's it, like you have that sense within you. You know you're God's child. And the Spirit enables you to know you are God's child. Now, if we are God's, we are children, then we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. Now notice, just because you're God's child doesn't mean you're not going to have some difficulties in life. Apparently, we have difficulties, sufferings that go with being God's children. But for what purpose? That we may share in his glory, right? Paul says, "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all, but who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. Now, how we handle this liminal space of the already not yet of God's kingdom is important. And we understand that even the creation, everything God made, is anxiously awaiting for this freedom to be realized so that things can be the way God always meant them to be, for us to live in the relationship with God and one another God always meant for us to have, to love God with our whole heart, soul, mind, and being, love our neighbor as ourselves. That's what we're created for. That is our reflection, the image of God, that in whose image we were made to live, you know, to be reflections of Him and His glory. And we just don't see that right now in this world. We see evil, sin, death. We see our self-willed, self-centered, self-focused way of living and being seems to be in control right now. And yet, we have the reality that Christ has come. And He's made all things new. He's making all things new. And one day He will make the new heavens and the new earth. So we're kind of in this space where of the already not yet. It's Jesus made sure everything was done that needed to be done for it. But now it's being worked out in this world, in us, by the Holy Spirit. And we're in that liminal space of the already not yet of God's kingdom. And in that space, we don't want to live enslaved to our flesh any longer, because we died with Christ and we rose with Christ. We don't have any obligation to our flesh to do what we used to do, to be centered in our life around ourselves is no longer necessary. We can be centered where we need to be in Christ, where He's the center, where He's our life, where we live in right relationship with the Father and the Spirit in Christ, because we live in Him, He lives in us, and He lives in the Father. We're held in that space. So we don't have to live anymore in this place of being slaves to sin and slaves to death, slaves to our flesh. That's not where we live. We died with Christ, and now we rose with Christ. We live in Him. He is our life. And so God's Spirit comes and dwells in man. What do? We look here. And we listen and we learn what it means that God dwells in man. How does that work? Well, God gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit so that the life of Christ becomes our very own. His life in relationship with the Father and the Spirit becomes our life. And we can hear His Abba Father in our own spirit. We begin to have a participation in His relationship with the Heavenly Father. And we hear the Spirit saying to us that we are God's beloved children. And we are. God has made us His very own. And that was always His intention since before time began, for us to share in His life and love. That's what we're designed for. And we're designed to live in God's grace, embrace, to love God and love each other. That's our way of being that we were always meant to live in. And the Holy Spirit enables us to participate in that, enables us to know we're loved, enables us to love God and love each other. And that is Christ's life of love and being loved that we're participating in, that we're sharing in. And that's the good news. Now, the reality is this liminal space of the already not yet of God's kingdom. It has its challenges. It has its difficulties. The reality is that God's kingdom stands in direct opposition to the kingdoms of this world. No one in this world likes to have someone else come in and say, you need to do it this way. We as human beings just really object to anyone telling us how things need to be. Even though God made all things and sustains all things by the word of his power, that we're held in Christ, it's his life that keeps us living and alive. We want to go our own way. And our kingdoms of this world are focused on things like power, like control, and all of these self-centered ways of being, and ways that Satan, the evil one, tries to keep control of our systems, our institutions, our organizations, our politics. He wants to run the show. Our flesh wants to run the show. And the thing is, that stands in direct opposition to God's kingdom. God's kingdom, which is other-centered, giving, serving, helping, loving, caring. You see? And so they butt heads. And we're caught in that space where of the already of God and not yet of God's kingdom, where God's kingdom has invaded the kingdom of darkness. And here we go. We're opposed to one another. And so we end up struggling, and we can sometimes suffer because we're God's beloved children. Now, the best way to live in this liminal space of the already not yet of God's kingdom is as God's children. Living in dependency upon him, trusting God, allowing him to do what only he can do, because he's got it. He's already done what is necessary in Jesus Christ. He's working it out in this world by the Holy Spirit. We stay in face-to-face relationship with the Father through Jesus and the Spirit in that space. And we walk, following Christ, being led by the Spirit, remembering that whatever we go through, nothing compares to what God has in mind for us and has prepared for us and will give us in the world to come. And this gives us hope to realize that in spite of how bad things might get, it's going to be great. It's going to be better than we can ever ask or imagine, because God is already taking care of it in Christ. He's working it out in this world by the Holy Spirit. He's going to finish what he started, and we can trust him, right? So we remember that, held within God's love and grace as his beloved children, we have hope, and we can wait. We can wait hand in hand with Jesus, along with the creation, as the creation waits anxiously, expectantly, looking to see how this is all going to work out. And we wait in hope. But as we wait, we need to remember there's much for us to do. We can't just sit here and say, oh, we're God's children, everything's going to be wonderful, and that's it. No, we have a life in Christ. We live in relationship. We're part of the kingdom of God that has entered this dark domain, this dark kingdom, and is beginning to move and make changes. And in this uncomfortable space of the already not yet of God's kingdom, we begin even now to live in the truth of who we are as God's children, who Christ made us to be in his life, his death, resurrection, ascension. This means the old way of being slaves to our broken, sinful flesh, that's done. We don't live that way anymore. We're living in the truth of who we are as God's children. We're loving God, loving each other, We're serving, giving, sharing. We're doing what we can to bring light into a dark world by sharing God's love with others. And so loving God and loving each other the way we were created to, we also share the good news. The good news is God's kingdom. God's kingdom is present, and yet, not yet, but it's present and real and at work in this world by the Holy Spirit because of what Christ is doing, has done, and will do. And so we share that good news, and we include people in our life, in our love. We live the kingdom life in such a way that we want others to participate as well. And we trust in the midst of all this, as we simply live in the relationship Jesus has created for us with the Father and the Spirit, as we participate in God's love and life, and we share it with others, we trust that what God has in mind for us is better, way better than anything we could ask or imagine. He's going to finish what he's begun, and he will not stop until all is how he ever meant it to be. Because he's faithful, and he's good, and he's love, Father, Son, Spirit. So we come to communion today, and we remember. And one of the reasons we want to remember is, as we remember what went before and what God has done, and we can be encouraged that he hasn't changed. If we died with Christ and we rose with Christ, that means we share in his glory now and forever. He's given us his Spirit. He's at work in this world. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to fear. We can live in this liminal space knowing we are loved, and we can love others and love God in response. So let's affirm the essentials of our faith. We die with Christ. We rose with Christ. We share in his glory both now and forever. Let's pray. We thank you, Father, Son, Spirit, for including us in your life and love. We receive this life you have given us through Jesus our Lord. Amen. Jesus offered his body. We receive all that he has done and given us. Christ's body for our body. His flesh for our flesh. Jesus invites us to participate in the cup, sharing it. Together we drink the life he has given us. He poured out his blood for us, poured out his life for us. We receive, Jesus, your life for our life. Thank you. Now may our Heavenly Father, who through Christ and by his Spirit has made us his children, bless you, keep you, smile on you, and give you his peace. God bless. I hope you have a great week, and hope to see you again here at Our Life in the Trinity.